In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. I'm looking at Joshua 5, 9 through 12. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have removed the reproach of Egypt from you." While the Israelites were encamped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, they celebrated the Passover on the evening of the 14th of the month. On the day after Passover, they ate the produce of the land in the form of unleavened cakes and parched grain. On that day, after the Passover on which they ate the produce of the land, the manna ceased. No longer was there manna for the Israelites who that year ate of the yield of the land of Canaan. You see, there was no need of the manna falling anymore because now they had their own food. God provides. God provides. He provided for them in the desert. But now, when they're in Canaan, when they're in the promised land, they don't need manna anymore. And I told you what manna means. What is it? That's what it means. What is it? And this is the what is it that came down from heaven, Jesus said. This is the what is it that came down from heaven. Let me tell you this. My mother always said this when we were young. My father used to go out for mushrooms, and he knew which mushrooms to get, and he would take them home, and we would wash them and get the bugs all out of them and clean them up. And then the mushrooms ceased. No more was there mushrooms. And my mother would say, "When we were hungry, God gave us mushrooms. Now that we have enough money to buy all the food we need, mushrooms stopped. They ceased." Just like the manna. That's what my mother used to say. Just telling you what my mother used to say. I'm looking at 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 21. "Whoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things are new. And they have come. And all this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation." Oh, yes. This is Paul. Anyone in Christ is a new creation. When he got up off of that land, he was completely a new person on the Damascus Road after he met Jesus. Anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. Are you a new creation today? Are you a new creation? The old has passed away. The old law of sin and death has passed away. Behold, new things have come. Oh, grace. It's all about grace. All this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ. How through Christ? On the cross. And given us the ministry of reconciliation. Yes, he has given the church the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, God was reconciling the world to himself in Jesus Christ, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Yes, Jesus dies upon the cross and reconciles us to the Father. Jesus dies upon the cross and reconciles us to one another. We implore you, on behalf of Jesus Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made Jesus to be sin, who did not know sin, so that we might become the very righteousness of God. You see, anyone who dies upon a tree is considered to be sin. Jesus became sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. It was all through the blood of Jesus. It was all through the cross of Jesus. Thanks be to God. But now we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Yes, you and I, saying, "Reconcile yourselves to God." God not counting our trespasses against us and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. It's all about the cross. Lent is all about the cross. And we continue to speak on the cross. Now we look at Luke 15 and we see what it's all about. It's the prodigal son. This is the audience. Tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Well, you see, Jesus knows his audience, tax collectors and sinners. And what's he going to say? A man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. The younger son gets one third, and the eldest son gets two thirds of the property. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a different, distant country where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. Well, tax collectors and sinners can identify with that. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck the country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the pigs. I tell you, he's a Jew, and the pig is an unclean animal. He's got the worst job in the whole world. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, why does he come to his senses? Because the pig pen has worked its way into his soul, and he realizes that daddy has servants that are treated much better than he is, and he wants to go home now. When the pig pen does its job in Sonny Boy, he wants to go home. What is the pig pen in our life? Sin. When sin does its job in us, we go to reconciliation. We go to confession. We go to ask God for forgiveness. That's what we go to do. But you see, even that, what we're supposed to do, is not being done by so many people. It's very sad. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough to eat? But here I am dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son,'" even though he is the son of the Father. He doesn't deserve it. "'Treat me as you would treat one of your hired hands.'" And we continue. "So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son." Oh, the son's walking very, very slowly, but the father runs to the son. He embraces the son. He kisses the son. And the son said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." But his father ordered his servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger, and sandals in his feet." I often think the sandals, you know, can go one of two ways, stay with the father or leave the father. He gave him sandals. He gave him freedom to either stay or leave. Of course, he stayed. "Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with the feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and now is found." Then the celebration began. Now the older brother, or the older son, had been out in the field, and on his way back he was near the house. He heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of his servants and asked what this might mean. His servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound." The elder brother became angry. When he refused to enter the house, His father came out and pleaded with him, just like he did with the younger son. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I have served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son," your son, "returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fatted calf." He said to him, "My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate. We must rejoice, because this your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and is found." I tell you, the best thing about being lost is being found. Jesus tells this, a parable, to tax collectors and sinners. They can identify with it because they know what they have done and they know the guilt of what they have done. But Jesus is telling them and us, there is no sin so bad that cannot be forgiven by the cross of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, they know that they could listen to Jesus. But the holy Pharisees said he eats with sinners and tax collectors. Rather, Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. He said this parable to the lost people so that they could be found again, so that the Father would embrace them, so that they could be sinless. This is real. This is real. Jesus knew his audience, and therefore he spoke this parable to the audience of tax collectors and sinners. Are you a sinner? Well, I am. And we have been cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus. Are you a sinner? We have been cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus. Anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. Are you a new creation? The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. Saul became Paul. Yes. Simon became Peter. New creations in Christ. Anyone in Christ is a new creation. They start all over again. I know of a young man. He had a different name. I think his name was Stephen. But when he gave his life to Jesus, he used his middle name. Now he called himself Joseph because he's a new creation. I tell you, new creations have only formed through the blood of Jesus and through the cross of Jesus. Are you a new creation? Then we need to start looking like new creations and acting like new creations because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross and in the power of the resurrection. Yes, who is the hero of that parable? The Father. He is the hero of that parable. He runs out to greet the Son while the Son walks very slowly to meet the Father. Oh yes, the Father loves to forgive us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and has given us the grace to become ambassadors for Christ and ministers of reconciliation. Are you a minister of reconciliation? Do you know that he wants to reconcile you to himself? Maybe you've been in the pig pen of your sin. Why not go to confession? Why not just let it all out? Ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the Lord to come and be your Lord and be your Savior. Confess your sins. You will not be rejected. Jesus said, "No one who comes to me will I ever reject, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of what he has given me. That's you. But I should raise it up on the last day. This is the will of him who sent me, that I would lose nothing of what he's given me. That's you. But I would raise it up on the last day. Oh yes, are you one of the new creations? Have you confessed your sins? Have you turned to the Lord with all of your heart? That's my question to you today. I continue with the reading of Joseph chapter 41, verse 37. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this man, in whom the Spirit of God is? I tell you, he is a pagan, Pharaoh, and he recognizes that the Spirit of God is in or with Joseph. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God hath showed you all this, there is none so discreet and wise as you are. What did he show him? That there would be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And God, Joseph said, we've got to save the time and save the wheat during the 7 years and the corn of plenty, because we will have to use it during the 7 years of famine. Thou shalt be over my house, Joseph, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. In other words, Joseph is being given the one to rule the kingdom. Only on the throne will I be greater than you. You see? Everything Joseph touches becomes prosperous. Everything Joseph touches, because he is a man of God, everything that he touches becomes prosperous. So he's going to rule all of Egypt. Imagine. The Pharaoh said, the only thing that I'll be higher in is when I'm sitting on the throne. I'll be higher than you then. But you have permission to rule my country, and you have permission to be, I would call him, the governor of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and he put it on Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain around his neck. So he dresses Joseph. Imagine the Pharaoh dresses Joseph. Not one of the slaves, not one of the servants, but the Pharaoh dresses Joseph. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. Of course, the first chariot would be the Pharaoh. And they cried before him, Bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without you shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name, I can't pronounce it, Zaphnath-Paaneh, and gave him his wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. We see Joseph had tremendous trials. He was sold to the Ishmaelites. Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. But Joseph is a man of God, and everything he touches prospers. Why? Because God was with Joseph. Remember, that's continually spoken. God was with Joseph. Do you know that God is with you today? You say, I don't feel it. He's still with you. He said, I shall never leave you nor desert you. I am the Lord, and I am with you. I will never leave you nor desert you. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout the land of Egypt. And in the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth food by handfuls. In other words, much, much produce. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. The food of the field which was round about every city laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea. In other words, there was so much corn you couldn't count it. You see, what are they doing? They're going to save the corn and the wheat for the years of famine. They'll have enough to eat now. For the years of famine, they're not going to have this corn and wheat. Remember, Joseph had the dream that there were several cows and several little cows, and the little cows ate the big cows. And Joseph said, that means the 7 little cows are the famine, and the seven big cows are the plenteous production, plenteous crop. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph there were born two sons before the years of famine came. The name of the firstborn was Manasseh, for God said, He hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second son he called Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction in Egypt. You see, this is something. God prospers Joseph. Why? Because God was with Joseph. And 7 years of plenteousness that he was in the land of Egypt ended. And 7 years of famine began to come, according to Joseph and what he said. The famine was in all the lands, but in the land of Egypt there was bread. Why? Because God was with Joseph, and he gave him the interpretation of the king's dream. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go to Joseph. What he said to you, what he tells you to do, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all the countries came unto Egypt to Joseph to buy corn, because they had a famine in their lands. Now what's going to happen? We know what's going to happen. Joseph's brothers are going to come to Egypt. Yes, the brothers that sold him to the Ishmaelites. Yes, that's what's going to happen. And you know, Joseph holds nothing against them. He holds nothing against them. And let's chapter 42. Now when Jacob, that's Joseph's father, or Israel is his name, saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, Why do you look one upon another? He said, Behold, I have heard there is corn in Egypt. Go down there and buy for us, that we may live and not die. Still, he's the patriarch. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. And Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, didn't send Benjamin. For he said, Lest mischief fall upon him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan too. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he sold to all the people the produce of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces toward the earth. Remember the prophetic dream of Joseph, that the 11 brothers would bow down to him. He saw them wheat that was in stacks, and a sheaf of wheat. There were 11, and they bowed down to him. Oh, yes, and they were very, very upset that they were saying that Joseph would rule over them. And yet the prophetic dream came about as the 10 brothers bowed down before Joseph. We'll continue this tomorrow. This is beautiful. Again, the greatest part of the story, or of the reality, is that the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord is with you today. I want you to know that. He is with you, and not only is He with you, He is for you. And if you are a believer, He is in you. Oh yes, you are a believer. He is not only with you and for you, He is within you. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. If you would like to donate to PayPal, the address is www.inseason.net, inseason.net, and you can leave money on PayPal. We're very grateful when you do things like that because we have to pay our bills. We are now starting to pay February's bills. We're always 1 month behind, but God always provides. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.